Welcome to the very final show on this Worldstar tour. Thank you for coming out.
There's an old saying in the music industry, what happens on tour stays on tour. And this is mostly true, because often the backstory is nowhere near as glossy as the onstage image that most of us have of the life of touring musicians. Hi, I'm Kathy Peters, sitting in for Robin Johnston, who'll be back soon. Welcome to Into the Music. Touring. It's a large part of any professional musician's life, long periods away from home and hours spent in transit. But for independent musicians who are starting out, there's often an extra layer of work to be done before any playing happens. Chasing sound guys, venue managers and merchandise, organising accommodation and travel, all of this on a shoestring budget. And then, after all that, having the energy to play a 50-minute set, with no guarantee that anyone will show up. For three independent up-and-coming hip-hop groups, Class A, Spit Syndicate and The Tongue, that's exactly what they were up against on their recent Wildside tour. And rest assured, this tour lived up to its name. Producer Mike Williams jumped in the car and on the plane to catch every glorious high and painful low on the tour. Wildside Hip Hop on Tour is what's left of editing about 28 hours of fly-on-the-wall recording during the tour. And a warning, this program contains some very coarse language and adult themes. So let's hit the road and join the Wildside Hip Hop Tour.
And the streets were glistening, listening in my hoodie when the Adelaide Kings had a full tilt boogie. And it shook me before I hear battles as a rookie. Capricorn cat, it was at the push me.
Be in each shot, shows down nationwide. Wide eye from the side when they let us ride. Tied together with some Delta lines and Earth Boys catalog, whatever costs we'll get inside.
Now we've arrived, we in and they say we winning, but it's just beginning. Are you ready to ride? This is a testament to the legends that set us right. Your footsteps are forever, true kings never die. Bang! Thank you very much, Sydney, we are out of here.
Motherfuckers. Straight up, I wanna see you scrape the paint off the fucking ceiling. Let's go.
One day is on top and it don't stop. Chase sweat on top and it don't stop. The high time all day and it don't stop. And it don't stop.
It's gone kaput, apparently. That's the description. It's kaput, it's gone. They knew before we left that there was problems with the car, and they thought it'd be alright, but unfortunately it's backfired. The wild side.
The tour couldn't have got off to a worse start. Dixie, Nick and James are by the side of the Hume Highway, and there's some doubt whether they'll actually make it in time for their first show in Canberra tonight.
There's no glory in death, especially for a Commodore. An hour and a half into the trip to Canberra from Sydney, and the car decided to start playing games, pretty much done and dusted.
Dixie's Commodore found its final resting place at the Wreckers at Berrima for a mere $200. Thankfully, DJ Maths comes through with the lift and we're back on the road. Summer's fast approaching and uni kids are breaking off for holidays. The Tongue, Class A and Spit Syndicate have all released albums this year. It's a perfect time to hit the road for a national tour. Welcome to the Wild Side, a tour that would see us play almost every state and territory. But right now, we're just lucky to have made it to Canberra in time to play the tour's first gig, to a surprisingly rowdy crowd.
What the fuck? You want some hot shit? Hey, yo, welcome to the future. I'll be the producer, the writer and the leader, man. But don't let that confuse ya. So every time you see me like you want Medusa. But I'm always on the ball at the public snooker. 25 years old, colder than I should be. Hardcore Lewis is not living in the hood, G. Long way from Compton, lot closer to Coogee. But could he make a world,
man, who else would be?
Be bold enough to try it, ever thought you got the night. A rich man told me get rich or die trying. But he came for nothing, so excuse me if I think you're bluffing. You say that this grind is for nothing. It's a real special something, soul food fit for consumption. Hip hop, kids from the dungeon.
Despite the car hassles, Canberra turns out to be a really strong start to the tour.
I think Canberra people are kind of appreciative of hip hop acts rolling through the town. Always at the start of the tour, you're a bit reserved and you're weary of people not turning up.
And with the first taste of the Wild Side delivered to a receptive audience, we now head north to Newcastle's Cambridge Hotel with a few pit stops.
No, he just pulled over. He just pulled over because he's feeling sick. He says he's about to throw up.
Oh, he's not answering. That means he's spewing.
Okay, all right.
That's bad.
Well, what?
Scuba's throwing up.
I start to feel a bit woozy in the sink, just panic. In the middle of traffic, have to throw up, so I just pull over the side of the road, let loose in a ditch for a bit.
To make sure we survive on this journey, musical all-rounder for the tour, Rowan Dix, a.k.a. Joyride.
Yeah, this is Dixie. It's Spit Syndicate, Tongue and Class A. We're on the Wild Side Tour. Getting from Canberra to Newcastle was a bit of a hassle. The other boys, Scoob, Tongue, decided to go the long way, stop for lunch, and so it turned out we were pretty pressed for time.
Some place by the side of the highway, stopping off for a meal we probably just don't have time to stop off for. Getting some food before we hit Newey. Once we get to Newey, the madness will creep in and we'll get our second and third wins.
There's a long list of daily logistical issues to sort out on any tour. Travel, accommodation, venues, gear. Quite often there's a tour manager to make sure everyone ends up in the right place at the right time. However, on this tour, it's all down to the artists themselves.
Usually when we've been on other tours, there's been someone from the label or someone that we can kind of liaise with and sort out issues, but this stuff here is kind of just us, so it's a bit of a headache and it doesn't really allow you to relax and get in the zone until right before you go on. So you really got to be on your game, I guess, because you can't blame it on anyone else. It's you if something goes wrong.
With lots of unscheduled stops, we are slowly making our way to the Cambridge Hotel. Hip-hop veteran and Newcastle local DJ Mathematics is behind the wheel. He tells me he's 27 years deep in Australian hip-hop, played thousands of shows, and knows the scene back to front.
The good thing about hip-hop culture here in Australia is I can go to any city at any time. I could just be getting off the plane or walking down the street and there'll be someone that I can bump into and know and recognise. You can't get that being a dentist. It's interesting on this tour, especially because you got Spit Syndicate and Tongue. Those guys reach an audience that's out of the Aussie hip-hop scene. You know, the Triple J listeners, the general music-loving people, the pub punters and all that, who can enjoy the music just as much as anyone else. So I'm seeing a larger demographic, cross-demographic, cross-pollination group of people here at these jams, not just hip-hop kids.
Some guys last night that were at the Canberra show and they've packed up in the car and they're all coming down to the show tonight. Like they're driving 5 hours to relive the moment.
Who are you?
Dave Chris from Canberra.
Yeah, last night at the gig, pretty drunk. Halfway through Spit Syndicate, Dave goes, "Oh,
let's go to Newey tomorrow night." He's like,
"Yeah, why not? Let's go. Work till 2, picked up Dave and then we're in the car and we're like, wow, we're actually doing this.
Have you ever done this sort of thing before?
Not to this extent, no. Not travelling 4 hours in a car to see a gig we seen last night.
If you're true hip-hop, you follow anyone and everyone because it's a growing industry and you just got to support it. They do it off their own back sort of thing, so...
You guys were keeping in contact with the artists today. How are you doing that?
Just through Twitter, really.
Were they replying to you, your tweets?
Yeah, they've been replying on that and, thanking us for coming out last night and I think they couldn't really believe we're coming up today. I just read on a few of their Twitters that, Scoob had a spew in the ditch.
Got 702 when the ladies say you nephew, we love you. I say L-O-V-E to you too, two to the crew. Move like I do with the stew, yeah, put it in like a stew. All the ingredients, and I do it with expedience.
Come on, bounce. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta move on. You find out soon enough, my man. Soon enough. Come on, bounce. Yeah, yeah, you gotta be moving on, and I hope you find out.
Let's do it together.
Come on, the bounce with me, come on. Come on, the bounce with me, come on.
cunts are getting into our beers pretty hard, aren't you?
At a normal hip-hop gig, getting back to the dressing room after a show can normally mean you'll find a lot of hangers-on drinking your rider, people you've never met before, and yeah, you just have to find peace with it.
Hey, get a beer, all of you, get a beer, come on.
So, there's the fun of the gig, then there's the after show fun, then there's the after fun fun.
Oh, nice, turn the shit up. I got 99 problems and they all bitches.
I got 99 problems and they all bitches. Wish I was Jigga Man.
Scoop, tell me where we are and what we're doing.
Basically, as soon as the set finished, I ran upstairs. That girl that was in the school uniform dragged me into a toilet. She blew on me till I got hard, then I had sex with her, whatever. Then she passed out on the floor, then I went downstairs. Then the Asian girl came up and ran up to me and said she's mom. I was her boyfriend, she started making out with me, my fingers on my pussy. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Then Shell now, he's like, all these girls are freaking out, I can't handle it, there's too much fucking drama.
Leave the men alone.
Why don't believe what has happened to me in the last fucking 30 minutes. Yeah, it is unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
Shocking.
Unfucking believable.
Just distraught.
Shocked.
It's just unbelievable.
It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. You happy with tonight's show?
Fucking oath, man.
You guys seem to be really vibing.
Yeah, man. Like, expect the unexpected, you know? Like, tonight was a fucking pretty shit venue. You know, like, pretty fucking sus sound. Not the hugest numbers. And we got up there and cunts were just fucking yelling. Like, they were yelling more than they were fucking nearly any other show. Well, we're about to keep the party going. We're about to put some chronic in the air. Burn some weed up at the hotel. Is that a spill or is that part of the...
I think it's part of the carpet.
Yeah.
So some girls were at the show and invited them to come back?
Yeah, man, I'm at a show. They're just going to come party with us for a little bit.
With girls coming back, man, you've got to put yourself in their shoes for a second and it makes it a lot less awkward. If one was to come back to the hotel room of a touring artist, it's not to sit there and sip fucking tea and eat cookies, you know? Strips away any awkwardness, I feel.
You look good in that singlet. You kick that. You're welcome.
So you came back to tonight with the guys. Have you ever done that before with a band?
No, never.
Never?
It's the first time.
What happened? Run me through what went down.
Well, why not?
So, Loopy put on a show for you, Michael?
Yeah, it was an interesting sleep last night.
Why is that?
Well,
basically, what happened was we all shared a room and there was, you know, three beds and we were all like, that's what happens when you share a room with two other people. If somebody stays the night, then there's not much soundproof, you know, because we're not baller enough to have our own sort of, have our own hotel room, so we all sleep in the same room, you know, like,
what happened?
Well, sometimes you hear snoring, sometimes you might hear sleep talking, the odd fart. You know, sounds between, you know, people making love.
I just wasn't expecting it.
Well, now you know what to expect.
Jimmy, you've got a girlfriend, so it's a bit different. But with Nick in the room, it happens often when you just bring back girls, have sex with them in front of you while you're sleeping.
No, that doesn't happen.
It's just not a biggie, you know?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
We're just enjoying ourselves. The girls are just enjoying themselves.
Catching up with Nick later on, he tells me how the hip-hop he listened to as a kid might have influenced the words he'll use towards women, but not his attitudes.
Want to go for a swim?
Maybe one of those bitches later.
Oh, fuck. Turn that off. I didn't mean to say bitches on the radio. My mother would not appreciate that. For all of the playing around that we do, the sneaking, you know, like... Me and Jimmy, we're both, you know, we treat the girls well, man. We treat girls and guys that we meet well. Like, oh, they say, oh, they're hooking up with girls, they're interested in girls. Well, Jimmy's got a girl, but I definitely am interested in girls, but I'm not a dickhead, you know, like I believe in treating people with respect regardless of any of that stuff. So we party, but no one's getting disrespected. That's something I want you to know. Even if I stupidly do say bitches, that's just the fucking hip-hop I was raised on.
No matter how much time you spend at airports when you're touring, they never get any easier.
I find
touring musicians and airlines are often sort of enemies. They need each other, but they hate each other.
Airports is a whole different kettle of fish, Mikey. You got, you know, waiting around, you got delayed flights, trying to get from the airport to the hotel, get a hire car, your security checks. Man, it's never stopped.
The Wildside Tour is taking to the skies. We'll be flying most of the trip from here. For me, this is not good news. I have notoriously bad luck with airports, but this time, I'm determined to make sure there aren't any problems.
I've got about 5 minutes before they close off the check-in, so I'm just running up the stairs. So much to... And look at the queue. I'm not going to make it.
This is a final check-in call for Jetstar flight JQ615 to Melbourne Avalon. If you are yet to check in for this service or drive back, please donate.
Michael Williams.
Yes, that's me.
Have you got a boarding pass?
Is that it?
No.
Is it attached to there on the back?
No.
Sorry.
That's okay. You were supposed to, but...
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you for that.
That's all right.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Oh, that was lucky.
Avalon Airport, which is the shittiest airport in Victoria.
How are you feeling about tonight?
Yeah, good. Class O says it's a cool venue, and it's always exciting playing a new venue, new place, new location.
Everyone's made it to Melbourne in one piece. The vibe is up as we travel a few hours west for tonight's gig.
So we've gotten to Geelong. We're playing at the National Hotel, and it's great. We're in Geelong. Which is Class A's hometown, so planning to put on a pretty big show.
Like it?
Yeah, love it.
Mad character, hey. So the venue that we're currently in, the National, aka the Nash, it's looks like an old large shed that you would have sort of at the back of a farm property, but it's got pillars holding up an old battered roof, wooden floors, a stage which is propped up by a few stilts, sort of graffiti and, you know, old stickers from bands, sort of borders between decrepit and stylish.
Welcome to where I spent my youth plumbing. In this bar right here, I supported Hilltop Hoods in 2003.
Geelong.
Geelong is where I was raised and lived for 23 years. As soon as I heard Aussie hip-hop on community radio, which wasn't being played much, it was once a week, I just fell in love with it straight away and just started to write.
I have to ask about girls in hip-hop, because there's not a lot of girls who rap.
It's funny you ask that. On one hand, it's a benefit because there's not many females, so people, you know, it's something different, and yeah, it's easier for girls to relate to me because I'm a female, but I do talk about my issues and my problems and my experiences, and hopefully, you know, they can relate to that as well. You know, people are quick to judge females as well on their appearance instead of anything else. So on forums and stuff like that, jump on that and you're a female rapper, you just get absolutely slaughtered. People have their aliases and go on there and say all types of things, you know, about whether or not they'd sleep with me or just watch film clips and...
How does it make you feel when you read that sort of thing?
It took me a while to deal with it, to be honest, like the first time.
How did you get over it?
People out there that say, you know, I had the worst day ever and I played your music and it just made me feel so much better. A few negative people aren't going to stop something that I'm so passionate about and that I've built over so many years.
A.M. to P.M. Live this. Breathe, music and team, try to escape, but it attacks me, it hurts me, what a bastard, and I'm back with them.
Even though everyone goes into Geelong with high hopes of putting on a great hometown show for Class A, technical difficulties suck the life out of everyone.
Keyboard's dead. Keyboard's dead, press down, there's only a stand.
Us playing together is clockwork, you know, we haven't had to really think about anything, we just get up, smash it, have fun. But when stuff goes wrong, you have to start thinking, and that's when you start tripping up.
would it be an Aussie hip hop gig without technical difficulties? We got it?
Average. Very average.
Nah, not over the moon, man.
What happened?
Just some sound issues. The vibe was as lost, and so tonight, as much as it may not be noticeable to the crowd, you still leave the place with a sour taste in your mouth. Finally seeing why there were days that I wanted to
die. This life is funny, but not really, haha. Spending so it's just, yeah, sometimes you feel like you're doing really well and this has been a good year, then other times it's like you've got so far to go.
How are you feeling at the moment?
Like we've got a long way to go. Feel a bit blessed with less and explore a number. What he expects, this don't text
with it, turn like this. Focus and win owners and him learn to send photo the chick. Geelong only marks a third of the way through the tour, but money is starting to get real tight. Some people have to borrow cash from each other to get by, myself included.
How come you've been stressed?
Bro, because I don't have much money. I have $120 to my name. No, less than that. About $80. I don't know how much I have. Not much. Because I went to New York earlier this year and I ran up my credit card, and it's pretty hard unless you're one of the really big acts to make money off album sales. Especially as the artist, because the label spends money and you have to pay that back. So for me, even though the album sold 1,000 copies already, that's just all going to paying back the $30,000 they spent on me. So it takes a while before any of that money gets through to me. So my money's off shows, and like if you're putting on your own tour, you're not guaranteed money at shows because you have to see if people turn up.
Well, is that a gamble? Is that the idea? Like bands, because they're not making money off albums, they're meant to make money off touring. Well, what happens when you're not making money off touring?
Well, then you're not making money.
Selling merchandise is an ongoing chore, but it's a necessary way for each act to make some extra cash. At each venue, there's been a process of setting up and manning the temporary stall and then sorting out the proceeds after.
So we're just at the merch desk right now trying to sell some CDs. Seeing as nobody buys albums anymore, we're trying to sell some merchandise. T-shirts, mixtapes, CDs, whatever we have, yeah. But it's pretty important because not only are you making a sale, you might get $10, $15 per shirt, but you've got like a walking billboard, someone that's going to take your shirt onwards and people are going to notice it. So I don't know how, yeah, we don't make much money full stop, man, from anything, but it's good to have people wearing your shit.
Although funds are tight, the guys don't mind splashing out on something decent to eat, especially breakfast after a bad gig.
Hopefully not too expensive, eh? That's my last $10.
This place looks pretty expensive.
Yeah, I know.
These guys like to eat pretty lavishly.
They do.
Is this normal tour sort of thing?
We normally like to get a nice big breakfast the day after. It gives everybody a chance to compose themselves and prepare to face reality.
So obviously the day after the Geelong show, we're not going to be in the best of moods. The ride to Melbourne was basically spent trying to pep each other up because Melbourne is meant to be a pretty big show.
We're just looking after a sound guy. Apparently we were supposed to sound check at 6 o'clock.
You're looking for him?
We get to the Northcote Social Club at around 6 to sound check, and it turns out the sound guy was there from 3 till 6, ready to help us sound check, and he'd left, so we missed it.
The guy was here between 3 and 6, which is when we were supposed to check.
Between 3 and 6.
Yeah, right, we were told at 6 o'clock.
Well, it means that no one gets to check their sound, so no one gets to check all the equipment. No one gets to check the sound levels. Probably means the sound guy's going to be pissed off because he feels like we left him waiting for 3 hours. Sometimes not everything gets communicated properly. So easy mistake to make, man, but it's just, you know, it's also an easy thing to double check, I guess. I don't know.
Luckily, as a hip-hop act, there's not too much for a sound guy to do, so there's not too much for them to mess up. But they always seem to find a way.
It's not uncommon for hip-hop acts to get special attention from sound guys, as vandalism and theft are often mentioned by venues as past experiences. Sometimes the relationship is good, and sometimes it's bad. You never know which until you walk in the door.
Hi, my name's Robert Bailey. I'm the sound house engineer at the Cambridge Hotel.
How many bands do you think you've seen come through?
On average, probably about 1,000 a year.
What's the one band that stands out the most?
It's all a blur. A big blur. Say tonight's Saturday night. I'll have 3 days off and then I'll start up again on Tuesday, and then it'll be Wednesday, then it'll be Thursday, and then it'll be Friday. So that'll be about, say, 30 bands done there.
Sound engineers have a bit of a bad rep in terms of complacency and caring.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of sound engineers that just pretty much just take it as a 9-to-5 job and that, and then you've got your people and that who have the passion for music.
Do you ever get annoyed when musicians put you in the basket with all the guys that just do it because they need to pay the rent?
I pretty much take it as a grain of salt because I know that's how it is. You know, I see people coming around and, you know, they go, here we go, here we go. But, yeah, I know how it is.
Cambridge has a policy here where hip-hop artists have to bring their own microphones.
I won't talk about it.
No?
Dreaming elsewhere, writing loud letters to a far away home. Eyes closed, got the felt air, getting myself square. Marky, it means we must drink Melbourne beer.
Go on and have another sip, man. Alright, go on and have another split, man. Go ape shit with that bass hit.
Check it, more.
So I should take it slow. Woo! Another sip and I'll be on the flow. Cause I don't think that I'm any fun. Cause I'm anyone's tonight. Put a hand up, put a hand up.
We're somewhere on the Wild Side tour with The Tongue, Class A and Spit Syndicate. You're listening to Into the Music on ABC Radio National.
Keep me from falling on the ground. Stop me from getting too damn loud. If you catch me, I'll please save me from another
Friday. Three blunts to the head at 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I gotta sleep in, eventually I wake at 3, need a glass of water. I gotta, where was I last night, type disorder. I need some Alka-Seltzer, I'm hung way over my senses.
The Melbourne show went great. Obviously we all decided to party afterwards, have a bit of a celebration. But then come the morning time, we'd all separated, all pretty hungover. We all had to congregate and get to Adelaide. Quick smart.
Everyone sort of has woken up in different parts of the city, so we're just trying to put the pieces back together and we can make it back to the airport.
Jet fuel and wanted to fly, but now I feel like a bad boy, ready to die.
Yeah, getting there, man. Just fucking, big crook.
I'm hungover and tired and I need much, in need of some sleep.
You gotta be back on your Sunday. Cancel your appointments.
We get into Adelaide and the accommodation looks like there's more people than beds, so people are gonna have to share.
We just sorting out rooms, man. We're just trying to work out sleeping arrangements, which is always a fun part of tour.
And we've got 2 rooms under that name?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Right.
What sort of rooms are they?
One has a queen size and a single, and the other has just a queen size bed in.
You guys have rollaways or anything like that?
I don't have any available tonight. We're fully booked with rollaways as well.
Okay, all right, we'll suss it out.
Weekend, so you've got your queen size and a single bed.
The door has opened. It's fairly small rooms, but clean, cosy. We're not expecting to be staying in really nice places, man. We're not, you know, we're staying at motor inns and places, you know, things like that. Just that I think that Zanon would have liked a few more beds as opposed to having to share one with Scoob. But it's no real stress to us. Fuck, if you have to share a double bed with your mate, who cares? Like, it's just a bed, just somewhere to pass out in.
Pong now has to fill a massive 2-metre stretch of canvas.
I can't believe it.
A daunting prospect.
Do you guys ever get bored on tour?
Not really, man. There are moments which aren't that interesting, but we're pretty good at passing the time, as you can see. And we find humour in pretty fucking benign things, you know, like we've always somebody to pay out.
Does anyone know which way to go?
Yeah, this is Morford Street. We're on the money, bro. Stop.
Hey, excuse me, bro. Do you know the directions to Hunt Street?
All right, go.
Hunt Street.
Go. Take off.
Why did you just drive off like that?
The directions game. Where basically you pull over when you see someone that's a local just walking around, and you ask them for directions to somewhere incredibly close by, like the next street. And as they go, oh yeah, it's just boom. You just fucking take off and leave them in the lurch, and they're left. I don't know. You don't even look at them. You just laugh.
Excuse me, bro.
Which one do I get to Hindley Street? You know where that is?
I guess my role on tour is to keep things kind of lighthearted and keep the mood up, crack some jokes, maybe a bit of stupidity from time to time, just to keep smiles on faces. That's what I like to think I do.
You'd run a book on nicknames and abbreviations and just like...
Shortcuts. In joyride terms, a cigarette is a dart, but to take it to the next step, a Mario Kart, and then to just drop the cart, which is the most important bit, that's the rhyming bit. You just go, Mario, but I'm going to have a chat to Mario. Police, cops, coppers, John Hoppers, Johnnies.
Subway is subbies or subalubs or schlubbers.
And sushi is not sushi, it's sushis.
Kebab
is a babalab. And a cab is a cablab.
It's very much like learning another language, you know.
I just talk. I don't know. I'm constantly dumbfounded at how these guys make such a big deal about the things I say when they say exactly the same things. But, you know, there's a reason I've been touring with them for so long, and it's not because of my skills, mate. I'm the court jester for Spit Syndicate. They just laugh at me the entire time. It's great.
On the tour so far, there have been more than a few times where I've had to stop and ask what the hell they're actually talking about. And with so many nicknames, half the time I don't even know who's who. Dixie, whose real name is Rowan, is also known as Joyride or even D Boon. Zanin is Zan, Tongue, Teasy, Tongue-y, or Krusha T. James is known as Jimmy Nice, Just Enough, or Bozo. And Scoob's real name is Ian. In normal conversation, they sound pretty inarticulate and confusing. But when you add a beat and the energy of the stage, they can awaken. I guess they're inner poet.
Real freestyle, man, like made up on the spot, not like the way the Americans do, write it and record it and call that a freestyle. Let me prove it to you. What are we rapping about? Huh? Xbox? All right. How many people got Xboxes?
This is my Xbox freestyle.
Well, we're not sponsored by Xbox. Yo, yo, live on the mic. I beat him, I beat her. I'm on the Xbox, kicking ass in FIFA. Every fucking day of the life won't trouble you. When I got the special move, I put up, down, and W. That means to be the mega hit, live shit. When we do Xbox, up in this. But I ain't ever playing, just like a game. The Xbox shit will be rotting your brain. You gotta pick up a book, shit, you look shook. That's how we G-tongue, never got a hook like a boxer. And when it comes to that, I'm live with that shit. You can't fuck with that. On the Xbox live, ripping down in Sydney. And kinda like the Xbox, I be 360. Hit y'all from every level and a place. That's how we do. Put that shit up on your face like,
oh. Man.
Hey.
I was ready to go in on that, man.
An incredibly important part of a tour's success lies in promotion. Unfortunately, neither Tongue, Spit Syndicate, or Class A received as much radio airplay as they would have hoped. Overall, the press attention for the tour has been pretty average.
So when we're on the road, we pick up street press, local street press, and go through and find our posters or our flyers for the gigs. Sometimes they weren't in there, things had gone wrong, which made it a little bit harder.
In one city, a local street rag went bankrupt just days before the gig. The bands lost their money, the ad never ran. However, Dixie, James and Tongue did score a lengthy interview spot on the nation's youth broadcaster, Triple J.
You're listening to the hip-hop show on Triple J. I'm about to talk to the Tongue and Jimmy Nice from Spit Syndicate and, of course, Joyride. We're going to catch up with the boys, talk about Wildside Tour, Lockaway.
With this sort of interview, I mean, it's the Triple J hip-hop show. It's a pretty big show nationwide. They normally get you to do some freestyling. Do you get nervous?
Yeah, that does make me a little bit nervous because you never know quite what's going to come out with a freestyle.
You know, it's got to be something that rhymes most of the time, so often you're thinking more of the rhyming word more so than the content. But generally I get away with not saying anything too insulting or incriminating. They've all gone pretty well in the past, so I'm not stressing out too much.
Calling the excursion the Wild Side Tour, lock away your alcohol and daughters, please welcome the Tongue, Jimmy Nice and Joyride. How you doing, boys? Hey.
Very well, very well.
Hey, Howie.
We're going to give them a taste of the live show. We're going to do a little something for on live radio.
Okay.
All right, cool. So I'm going to put a beat on. We're going to hear the, Jimmy and the Tongue do the business. Triple J Hip Hop Show.
You're the businessman, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You want to start it?
Man, I'm a business, man.
But it stays hot. Let me show you how I do on my days off. I make it rock like my name was H-O-V. Plus R, get around like a STD. I'm in the S-Y-D, straight repping the show.
How do you freestyle?
I think basically that started when I used to do stuff with this thing we called Rhyme School, which was basically a loose collection of MCs. When I first started out, we used to meet up every weekend and we'd kind of have these different games, you know, so you had to rhyme as much with one letter as you could. Say the letter's B. I'm bouncing all around like a bank robbing bandit. Blah, 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 blah. You know, just use B as much as you can, and then another one would be storytelling, or the next game would be, you know, you have to rap as someone. So, you know, you have to rap as Kevin Rudd or, you know, whatever the case may be. We did a lot of those, and we did that every weekend for I don't know how long, maybe a year, maybe longer. You know, like anything, the more you do it, the better you get. But I think you need to have a head full of content. You need to have something to rap about. You need to have vocabulary. If you don't have words at your disposal, then you're not going to be much of a freestyler. I don't know. It's a very sort of unusual thing in a way. It's hard to explain exactly how it works because it's real time. As I'm thinking it, I'm saying it. So it's hard for me to explain exactly all the little cogs and little... I think with freestyling, when you've done it enough, when you get your experience hours up high enough, certain things start to become second nature.
So this is a Wild Side crew, chilling with how we're gonna get down. Hey, we ain't getting paid, but we're chilling on Triple J. Hey.
Yes, indeed. The Tongue rattle off those dates, final dates again. Yes. Triple J Hip Hop Show.
This Thursday at, I believe it's called the Alley Cat.
We get to the Adelaide gig and the dude supporting us dropped a bertha there. And I think they've been hassling Tongue for a while for the support slot.
I'm DJ Zypher from Drop to Birth.
Yeah, MC Hiro.
For us, it was a big step, man. Like we've played with some big names here and there, but we haven't had the main support slots that we've really desired, you know. And this one was a big one. And we're massive Elephant Tracks fans, let's face it, we all have been. And it's humbling to know that somebody like the Tongue and Spit Syndicate and Class A are willing to put us on their bill. It's humbling to know that, you know, they think we're right, you know.
How did you score this gig on the Wild Side Tour?
I'd sort of fucking been hassling the Tongue in a sense for a while.
Just over the internet?
Over the internet, yeah. I critiqued a few albums of his and then... in a sense, yes, because like the thing that cunts don't actually get is good feedback. That, and then I sent him a porno which looked... Exactly like him.
A dude with a little porno moustache, yeah, just like Mr. Tongue himself.
A lot like Tongue. Yeah, boning some chick, and he found it quite funny. I hassled him once again, saying, fucking, when you come to Adelaide on your tour, bloody give us the spot. And
you tell him what you don't like about his music.
Yeah.
You send him a porno with a guy that looks like him.
Yeah.
And then you ask him, then you hassle him about playing a support show in Adelaide. Okay.
Hey, that's hip hop, man. That's hip hop.
Let me tell you how it's gonna go down.
How it's gonna go down.
I'm a certified enforcer.
Yeah.
So get your ass on the ground.
Get that ass on the ground.
This is an industry shakedown. House party shakedown. Don't flex.
The Adelaide gig goes well. A strong crowd and everyone's on their game. But Hobart's the next stop on the tour. And the mood is about to go kinda sour. Sometimes on the road, things are out of your hands, and we're about to experience a series of somewhat unfortunate events.
Basically, we're playing a show in Hobart tonight with no promo. There's no posters up, there's no ads in the street press. There's a couple articles in, like, you know, the local what's the Hobart Mercury, I think it is, or the something like local paper. So who knows, man?
We get into Hobart to the venue. What was it called? The fucking Cat. The Alley Cat. And the room was a bit weird. And the sound guy was a bit weird. And everything seemed a bit weird.
Yeah, this is the smallest venue I've played in a long time. This is really small.
The stage is literally half the size of my bedroom in my house. And it's fucked up.
Dixie playing the phantom piano for the phantom sound guy who is yet to turn up.
Let's get a bit more mid in the just in this one here.
Hey Ben, how you doing? This is Nick. Mate, we had on our worksheets that someone, the sound would be here to do the sound at 5:30. I mean, I'm guessing if you're not here now, though, there's not really much we can do about it. We're just going to have to aim for it.
It's standard operating procedure. It's a different time zone here. It's just island time.
It doesn't look like there's many drinks for our performers either.
But isn't there normally a rider? We normally have a rider. A bucket with some ice and then some beers in it, a bottle of vodka or something like that.
I'm new. Okay. This is how it usually works. These are worth drink age, and then you get like staff dip prices on the rest of your drinks.
That's not how we normally do it.
So what were you told?
Another city, another accommodation stuff up.
They're telling us that the booking got cancelled, so Nick's had to put down his credit card number and all that jazz to try and get it. So do we have enough beds now even?
We do. They booked another room. There was only two rooms booked with two single beds in it, which is four people, so...
Okay, we're booking for 6 or 7 people.
Yeah,
like...
but the ball was dropped.
It's starting to rain, and Hobart's even getting to the tour jester, Joyride.
What's going on? What's the matter?
Nothing.
You sure?
Yeah.
You want to talk to me?
Just a bit of a Grubble-Stiltskin mood, I think. I was spurred on by... you know, current situation. It's just little things, man, have really fucking griped me today, and it's just kept digging and digging.
My name is Bradley Armand, born and bred Hobartian, and I'm a Hobart local. This is my local. It's one of the better places to go for live music. Obviously, being Hobart, it rains a lot. People look out their window and they decide not to come out, which is really unfortunate. A lot of the great acts come out on a Thursday, Wednesday, and people just don't turn up. When you get a rainy afternoon, I've known bands to cancel.
It's only an hour to the show. I go to check on Nick, who hasn't been sounding 100% since we left Adelaide.
Not feeling that good, man. This is generally what happens the third leg of every tour. Your body just starts to give out, especially you. I mean, you've seen the way. Haven't been looking after ourselves, haven't been getting enough sleep, and smoking and drinking.
What is it you've got?
I don't know, some sort of sinus infection. I don't know, the doctor didn't even tell me. She's just like, yeah, it's infected. Either way, it's fucking... I sound like a retard.
How's this going to affect the shows?
Probably negatively.
This is for everybody that's had their heart broken recently.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tough crowd. Just being so close to people, you can see that they're just sort of talking about you. Like, they'll look at you and then whisper and talk. And, like, a lot of that happened tonight, so it just feels a bit awkward. Like, you know, people are judging you and sort of talking about you, and you're just like, oh, this is awkward, you know, especially when people are sober and they're just sort of, yeah, just kind of standing there observing.
This tour seems like it's like, I don't know, maybe like you guys just seem over it.
Not over it, but for me personally, I've done my dash this year for touring and I love it, but at the same time, there's just some more kind of realities that kick home at this time of the year in terms of money and stuff like that. I mean, with all our tours, you're never guaranteed to be coming home and Scrooge McDucking into a pool of money right now. It's like, oh, I just want to make some money so I can buy some Christmas presents for my fucking family, you know? But it's dope, man. We're fucking lucky to be in the position we're in. I don't want to be whinging for a second.
So, no big surprises. Hobart's gig is not looked on favourably by anyone involved. It seems like there's light at the end of the tunnel, though, with lots of pre-sales for the second last gig of the tour, which is tonight in Brisbane. But the Apple Isle is not finished with us yet.
Well, we got a text from Virgin Airlines saying our flight has been cancelled and to call this number. Chucked our stuff in a bag quickly, got in a
car. No shower, nothing.
It comes to the flight and they're like, oh, sorry, like the last two people just checked in. There's no flight. There's no other flights. There's no anything.
Turns out the only way we're going to get to Brisbane for tonight's gig is to hire a car and hightail it to Launceston Airport on the other side of Tassie. Finally, it's onto the plane, we arrive in Brisbane, and of course, the baggage is nowhere to be seen.
We thought nothing else could go wrong. As soon as we got there, we're the only ones standing at the carousel just going, all right, something's going on here.
How do you think the show's going to go tonight?
Amazing. It has to.
Tonight's going to be a cracker, man. Bags got stuck in Sydney. We're just real fuck around after fuck around, man. It's been a shithouse day, but those days always turn into the best, man.
As the King Solo says, show must go on.
The vibe is up. Brisbane goes off.
Seven killed it. Class A killed it. Double S and Tongue, we all played really well. Everyone was really into it. People were sculling out of their shoes. Some strange reason that hasn't upset me. Someone telling me something. I look up and they gone. So I can't breathe in this place that I call my home. No, I can't breathe, and I can't see. No, when there's no end in sight. Think it might be time to take flight. I'm gonna break free. Come on, exhale in exile. Get away, exhale in exile. Get away, exhale in exile. Get away, exhale in exile.
Cause we're gone. Yeah, thank you very much. You know what? Thank you.
How was it? That's a lot of fun, man. Brisbane is sick.
What was it, the crowd or your feeling?
Crowd, a good venue, good sound, good kush.
For me, the hip-hop lifestyle doesn't exactly exist in that form. There is no hip-hop lifestyle. Like, my lifestyle that I live at the moment is a juggling act, and hip-hop is probably the most important ball. But my life is not just hip-hop. I got to work, you know, got to pay bills. It's hard to look at it as just the hip-hop lifestyle. It was just all trying to balance everything out, because we haven't seen a huge amount of money from this hip-hop lifestyle that we have been living. So it's just a matter of just trying to keep going with it. And it's a bit of fun. That's what we started doing it for, was just a little bit of fun. And now it's, I guess, become a little bit more serious, but not that much more serious. You know, it's still just about having fun and just enjoying the ride.
Man, you guys, seriously, tonight, the first time I watched the whole set, you guys actually murdered it. That's the perfect track, man.
With the Brisbane gig going so well, there's now a lot of excitement on the home stretch. Sydney's homecoming gig is the grand finale of the Wildside Tour. A sense of achievement starts to come over everyone as they realise this nationwide hip-hop adventure is nearly in the bag.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, it's so good to be back in Sydney, man. So good to see so many familiar faces. This is the best city in the fucking world, man. Shit. Will somebody say SS? Say SS. Say SS.
City, what the fuck's up?
Say SS.
Hey, hey, hey. And from the front to the back and the side to side. Throw your ones in the air if you feel the vibe. Say one day.
One day.
Say one day.
So it's good just to close out on a positive note. A lot has happened on this tour, and so it's good just to come home, play in front of a home crowd, be able to sleep in your own bed at night.
Welcome to the very final show on this Wildside Tour. Thank you for coming out. Yeah.
It's a pleasure to go all the way around the country and this be the last stop in your home fucking town and seeing a crowd like this. Much respect.
Really, not only is it
amazing to see all of you, but it's good to see some of our close friends, our family. It's been a while since we were in Sydney. You're all our family. It's nice to be back with you all. We missed you. So back in the way, man.
The end result of the tour for Spit Syndicate, we had a lot of fun on this tour, and I often said that if the success of a tour was measured on how much fun you had, you know, how much you partied, how many people you met, how many girls you perhaps had dalliances with, then this tour would be a smashing success, perhaps the most successful ever. Unfortunately, that's not what tour success is measured on. It's measured on how many tickets were sold, how much merch you sold, how many new ears you reached, things like that.
We ain't gonna let them drag this one down. We ain't gonna let them drag this one down.
I guess the result of the tour for Tongue was that he was back on the road, man. He hadn't done a tour for a long time. And so it was good to get back out there and do shows and understand that people around the country, not just in Sydney, are hearing his music and enjoying it. Class A, man, I think she sold a lot of singlets that tour. She did well. People were warming to her, you know. They weren't that familiar with a lot of her stuff, but I think it was a really good platform for them.
In a broad sense, this tour was important for Australian hip-hop, but it wasn't any more important than any other tour. You know, not even just Aussie hip-hop, this is Australian independent music, young sort of bands with not a great deal of money just really slugging it out there in fairly tough conditions trying to get their music out there. So it wasn't particularly important, like this was a monumental tour for change. But these tours are important because they are the building blocks. They are the first steps of what will hopefully be bigger tours down the track. Every tour is important. You take something from everything, even if it doesn't go how you envisioned it or how you would have liked it to have gone.
I'm thinking about the places I've been, all I've seen. Imagine what this will look like looking back at it.
I think every Aussie hip-hop tour is important for Aussie hip-hop in terms of building the genre and breaking the mold that a lot of people still have this impression that Aussie hip-hop is bogan dudes who beat each other up and rap tough and graffiti and stuff. And it's not really about that. It's about another form of expression. It's, you know, skilled rhyming and skilled wordplay over interesting music, and that's, I think, the aim for us, for the younger dudes. There's progression happening, and it's good. It can't stay stagnant.
After weeks on the Wildside tour, Class A, The Tongue and Spit Syndicate have played to thousands of fans in every corner of Australia. Everybody's now back home, safe and sound, and can hopefully look back with some sense of perspective on this crazy ride.
The tour was good fun, all in all. There were some hiccups along the way, which made it kind of tough, but it's always good being out on the road with friends and doing what you love in front of people that, you know, you haven't met before, and they're coming up saying, "I really enjoyed your show." You know, that gives you a feeling that not much else can. It's in the shadow that you walk with. Say, put a hand up one time, my friend. And I hope that this moment never ends. It's time to look back. It's time to look back. It's time looking down. I bet it's time looking down. So I can't wait. You look fucking amazing, Sydney. What up? Hey, Sydney, you feel it all right. You feel all right. We feel all right. Sydney, you feel it all right.
Welcome to the very final show on this Wildside tour. Thank you for coming out. Yeah.
Have a fucking awesome night. We've been in Spit Syndicate one day.
You've been listening to Wildside, hip-hop on tour. here on Into the Music on ABC Radio National. And we heard from three Australian bands, all travelling together, touring Australia. Class A, who was Andrea Baranski, featuring Rachel Berry and DJ Mathematics. The Tongue, Zanon Shirley and Ian Campbell, with DJ Scoob on the decks. And Spit Syndicate, Nick Loopy and James Baserio. And Joyride is Rowan Dix. Wildside Hip Hop on Tour was produced and presented by Mike Williams and engineered by Timothy Nicastri. And Timothy also recorded and mixed the live music we heard throughout the program, which was recorded at the Gaelic Club in Sydney. You can read more about Mike's tour experience and also see photos and hear extra audio clips at the multimedia blog that he kept during the tour. Details of this and more are on our website, abc.net.au/rn/into the music, all one word, where you can also hear this program again for the next month online. I'm Kathy Peters, and thanks to Russell Stapleton for production today. Join me next week at this time for Brazil Calling. That's on Into the Music, here on ABC Radio National.